This is episode 57, and today I want to talk about some sensory stuff. It's winter where I live here in the Midwest, and it is the time of year where I hear from parents about how their child who has sensory issues seems to be getting worse lately. I will talk about this and some possible reasons why this seems to be the trend right now for many people. First, I want to say Happy New Year, and sorry I missed last week. I started preparing this show early last week, but then decided to take a little break and enjoy spending the week with my family. So, speaking of family, you might have noticed my new intro music. My cousin, Nate Kirch, was gracious enough to give me access to some of his own music creations. Of course, the whole song is a lot longer, but I narrowed it down to a couple of clips to use for the intro and the ending of my show today, and probably for the next several shows. I hope you like it. One thing I have learned through doing this podcast is that doing these take a lot of time and effort, creativity, and passion, to name a few. It has made me appreciate artists in general. I don't consider myself an artist in doing podcasts, but I do create my own content for each show, so it is a creative art in a way. I wanted to be able to showcase someone who hasn't had a chance to share their creations with other people. I know that Nate spent hours upon hours working on his music creations, and I think it's really cool to be able to do what he's done. When you're doing something you're passionate about and something that you enjoy doing like that, it doesn't seem like work, but it is nice to be able to share the things you create with the world. With that being said, we don't get paid for sharing our creations with you, so if you like the show and you would like to continue listening to the show in the future, you can do your part to show your support by doing your Amazon shopping through my website. By using the Amazon links I have provided for you, you can click the link, get to Amazon, and do your shopping. It won't cost you any more than any other time that you shop on Amazon. It just gives me the credit for bringing you to their site, which helps me out once you make your purchase. Some of you have been doing this for me already, and I want to tell you how much I appreciate you taking the extra few clicks to make it happen. This is one of the few ways that I know you are listening and that you want me to continue doing the show. Trust me, doing this podcast does not pay the bills. And that's okay, because I really enjoy doing it. But I like to know that you guys enjoy it too. So thank you for supporting me. It really does mean a lot. I also have my own Amazon-specific page now that you can link to through my website, and I've been adding the items that I recommend to families that will encourage their development and address sensory needs. I'm continuing to add items all the time, so check back frequently to see what else is out there. Now, moving on to the discussion for today's show. Have you noticed your child's sensory issues getting worse lately? Or some of your kids that you work with seem to be having more difficulty coping lately than they did before? Everything seemed to be going fine. This happens all the time. Parents get their kids into a routine during the warm summer months, and it even continues into the fall until it becomes colder. Wintertime cold. Honestly, this hadn't been too much of an issue for us until the last week or two here in Kansas. But it is not uncommon for kids and even adults to get cabin fever, so to speak, by the end of the winter season. We are definitely ready for it to be over. However, that's not what I'm actually talking about here. What I'm talking about are kids with sensory processing issues, especially ones involving the vestibular and proprioceptive areas. They don't get cabin fever like you normally think of cabin fever. Their version of this starts pretty much right away when the colder weather moves in. It's hard for many people to believe that within a week of the indoor staying out of the cold weather time starting, they're already seeing the obvious effects it is having on their kids. But let me tell you that it is, or at least it can be. If you have a child with sensory issues in these areas, you need to at least consider that this could be one explanation of why things might seem different right now. So why does this happen? Well, during the warmer months, we get into some pretty good routines. We have narrowed down the activities that seem to help our kids the most with getting their sensory needs met. And because it's warmer outside, many of these activities are outside activities. When it starts to get colder, we naturally tend to stay inside more frequently. And without realizing it, we have now taken away a large amount of the sensory activities these kiddos need. This might seem obvious to hear me say it, but when you are the parent or therapist involved in these situations, sometimes you don't think of it right away. We often get hyper-focused on things like the child is having a hard time getting to sleep at night again or staying asleep all night, or they are constantly moving. They can't seem to sit still, even for a few minutes, maybe only to watch their favorite movie or on the TV or on the iPad. Then once it's over, they are up and moving again. Or they might just seem more agitated in general, or maybe they aren't talking as much as they had been. These are just a few of the possible examples of things that I hear from parents. When the child has sensory issues, we need to consider what has changed recently with their sensory activities and input, rather than focusing on these things that look like behaviors at first glance. This isn't always an obvious answer, and like I said, many times people will even say that nothing has changed that they can think of, other than maybe we haven't been outside as much lately as we were before. That is a change, and believe me, not a small one, in cases where kids really need those movement and proprioceptive activities. Let me explain this in more detail so that everyone is on the same page here. Vestibular sensory processing is what helps you determine which way is up, or at least which direction your head is. This helps with keeping our balance so we don't tip over while we are sitting or standing in place. The sense is stimulated by the three semicircular canals in your inner ears. These three semicircular canals are all positioned in your ears at three different angles, horizontal, vertical, and at an angle in between. There are tiny hairs and fluid inside these canals. When you turn your head, the fluid moves in the opposite direction and stimulates the tiny hairs by bending them or rolling over them. Each time you start and stop moving your head, these tiny hairs are stimulated by the fluid moving and stopping or changing directions. When you spin in a continuous circle, the fluid gets moving and continues moving, so you don't notice the movement as much after a while. But when you stop spinning, the fluid takes a little longer to stop moving because it is fluid and not able to stop immediately. This can make you feel dizzy because your head is not moving anymore, but the fluid continues to move as if you are still spinning. Head movement is not just spinning, though. Head movement is when your head is moving through space in any direction. And the part when you notice the movement is at the time when you start and especially when you stop. This happens when our head is upright, tilted at any angle, including to the side or down in front or back. It also happens when your head, which also usually means your body as well, is spinning around, moving up and down like bouncing or jumping, swinging front to back or side to side, running, and any other type of movement that you can really think of. The inner ear is the place that sends information to our brains, so our brains can then let us know which way is up. That way we can make adjustments to our body and head to get there. The action tells our brains which way our head is based on the movement and placement of the fluid in these canals. Our brains can take this information and decide which way we need to move our head in order to get our head in an upright position or whichever position or angle we're trying to get into. When the system is working properly, we are able to maintain our balance so we don't fall over, even if we are tilting our head to one side or another. When the system is not working properly, if the person tilts their head to one direction, their brain is unable to process the information correctly, and they may lose their balance and fall over. This will often result in that person resisting tilting their head in any other direction other than up in the future to avoid falling over. On the other side, there are people who have the delayed response, which means they tilt their head, but it takes longer than it should for them to process the head movement. This person will often continue moving to try and get the stimulation or sensation going. This is someone who probably loves jumping on trampolines, swinging, running, spinning, all those movements. This person's body needs the extra movements in order to achieve the sensation necessary to determine where their head is in space. Now for proprioception, this is where we get information from our muscles and joints to determine where our body is in space. Not just our head, but the whole body. For some people, they will have trouble with motor planing or learning how to coordinate new motor movements if they have difficulties with proprioception. An example of this with kids is learning to do the motions for the song Head, Shoulders, Knees, and Toes. A child with proprioceptive difficulties may not be able to do these actions, or they may get the first one where they touch their head with their hands, but by the time they've done that, the song has already moved on past the toes and possibly into the next set of actions. For an adult, it could be a similar scenario when trying to learn a new dance or follow along with an exercise or a yoga class. In other situations, you may see kids who frequently bump into each other or into objects without even noticing. Kids who like to fall down a lot so they can feel the crashing of their body on the floor or cushions. They might have trouble sitting with an upright posture because they're slouching a lot or slinking down in their chairs. This could also be the person who doesn't realize their own strength. They often slam doors to make them shut or press too hard when they're writing that the pencils always break. They're unable to regulate or determine how much pressure is needed to complete an activity. These are also the kids that usually love deep pressure type activities or activities that provide joint pressure. Things like jumping or crashing on the floor, being squeezed or smashed under pillows. Activities that kids often do outside involve these things in addition to the movement activities. A lot of times the activities for one also benefit the other, and it can be hard to see the difference. You don't really have to know the difference necessarily. You just need to be able to figure out which types of activities your child seems to like the most, and which ones seem to benefit them the most from a sensory standpoint. After they do these activities, you might see them choosing to look at a book for a few minutes or play some other stationary game or talk more than usual. They are often temporary effects, but are still very important because it gives us a chance to see what else the child is able to do. During a time when their sensory needs have been met and they are able to focus on learning or other things that their sensory issues might get in the way of them doing. There are so many outdoor-based activities that I couldn't possibly name them all, but some of the most common ones are things like riding a bike or a tricycle or ride-on toys, playing on outdoor play equipment like slides and swings and climbing walls. Ramps and steps are usually included on these pieces of equipment, either in the backyard or at parks in your area as well. Swimming or water parks, playing in the sprinklers in the yard, outdoor trampolines, roller skating, jumping rope, sports like soccer or basketball, even just generally playing with a playground ball outside. Being outdoors in itself encourages getting up and moving. Plus, when the sun is shining and it's warm out, it really makes a difference with people's mood and just feeling good overall. It's pretty easy to get vestibular and proprioceptive needs met during this warmer time of year because of the large variety of options available. We might take it for granted sometimes that all of those activities are actually providing true beneficial effects to our kiddos with sensory needs, especially in those two areas. If you're lucky, it doesn't seem like too much work to get their needs met, especially once you figure out which ones are best for them and get into a type of routine or schedule without even realizing it. Then, when the weather turns colder and we naturally start staying inside more, without realizing it, we move less, and the movements we do get are often brief and not intense enough. Unless we are conscious of this going on, then we become confused as to why our kids seem restless and possibly bored or lethargic acting. It might seem like they are literally bouncing off the walls, or some kids will seem to have a difficult time getting up off the floor, like they are rolling around on the floor or flopping around on the ground like a fish out of water. It's almost like gravity is just too much for them to handle sometimes. If your child is like that, you will know what I'm talking about. So let this just be a reminder or I noticed, to those of you who are experiencing this, that you are most likely going to have to put forth a conscious effort for the next few months to get them doing the movement and proprioceptive activities that they still need. If this is going on in your house, then your child is not able to get their own needs met yet. They need you to help them get creative and get their heads and bodies moving. Even though it seems easier to do these activities outside, there are still plenty of ways to do what your child needs inside too. Now, I also understand that sometimes using an iPad, a tablet, or Netflix are solutions for getting your child to sit still for a while. That might be the case, but it is only a temporary solution. The problem with that is they are not moving their head or getting their body active while they're watching these devices. So when you want to turn those off, you may have an even bigger problem because now they've gone an even longer time without the activities that they really need, the movement and the proprioception. Of course, there are some kids who are constantly moving even while they're watching their videos or movies. They're rolling around on the floor, hanging off the couch upside down, bouncing in their seats. But even with all of that, they most likely aren't getting the intense movements or deep pressure that their bodies are craving or that will actually benefit them. You may be able to add to their video watching time by wrapping them up in a blanket, like a burrito, or having them use a weighted blanket around their body or on their lap while sitting and or laying and watching the device. They could hold on to a vibrating pillow or a toy that vibrates during this time as well. Maybe they could sit on a playground ball or a balance disc or something that requires their body to be a little more active in sitting. These are just a few ideas, mainly for proprioceptive activities. However, I still think these may not be enough for your child to really get their needs met. It might be helping them slightly, at least in the proprioceptive area, but really not hitting that vestibular area too much. I've mentioned this before, but I will say it again, that the vestibular and proprioceptive activities are often very similar. The activities that tend to get their heads moving through space also often involve using their body to get them moving. But to think about each area specifically, vestibular, head moving, and moving in different directions and tilting their head in different positions, and proprioception, moving their body with joint and or body pressure through active movements. If you can focus on getting these things done, you might be able to get your child's sensory needs met, at least for a while. One more thing about this is we often see kids having more issues with sleeping than usual during this time of year. And I believe this is partially, for some kids, if not completely, due to not getting their sensory needs met fully throughout the day. So if we get these areas more active again, you will hopefully see some positive changes in not only their sleeping patterns, but possibly their overall behavior and attitudes, or just a reduction in the amount of ants in the pants scenarios. Now, what are some activities that you can do at home during the winter when it is legitimately too cold to go outside? For example, the past few days in Kansas has been around 8 degrees Fahrenheit. The wind chills are even colder right now. This is extremely cold for us, and I wouldn't expect to see any kids out playing in these temperatures. Of course, it's not this cold all winter, and there should be some days where playing outside is still possible, at least for short periods of time. So those can be really good opportunities to get more of those sensory needs met. Things like making snow angels or sledding or making snowballs and throwing them, shoveling snow, sweeping the snow with a broom, or scooping up snow with a sand shovel and putting it in the bucket and carrying it across the yard, and maybe dumping it into a pile or making a snowman. If there's no snow and the temperatures are good enough to stay out for a little while, take advantage of that and have them get on a swing set or ride their trike on the driveway or bounce or kick a playground ball or a soccer ball and run after it. You can still do many outdoor activities in the colder temperatures. Just focus on maximizing their movement and proprioceptive opportunities during that short time outside, if for no other reason than to just break up the monotony of doing these activities indoors. Now, back to the indoor activities at home. There are those activities that involve buying indoor equipment like mini trampolines or indoor sensory swings and things like that. Those are all fine, but if you don't have the money or don't want to spend the money on those things, you can easily use what you already have to get the same things done. This might require some letting go on your part, though. For example, creating a place or an object that you are okay with them jumping on. Maybe it's an old couch that you can take the cushions off of and let them jump on the cushions on the floor. Using a large blanket and swinging the child in the blanket instead of buying a sensory swing. Although this activity tends to be a lot easier and often more effective when you have two people to hold the blanket. You can have them log roll across the floor and roll them up in blankets like burritos, somersaults, wheelbarrow walking, bouncing them on your knee, holding them upside down, and bringing them back upright and repeating that action. If you have a large yoga ball or a large playground ball, you can use that to get them moving, laying them on their tummy or their backs on it, and also sitting on it and having them bounce. I've had kids stand and bounce on the yoga ball like a trampoline, but this also required two adults to help, even after we wedged the ball between two couches to help hold it in place. It's not an ideal situation, but we made it work for that moment. If you have room inside, you can bring their little tyke slide inside and let them use it indoors while they climb up it and slide down. Pushing and pulling activities, you can do this with literally anything, within reason, of course, for their size and strength abilities. Some examples are a laundry basket or a plastic tote or a large diaper box with some weighted objects inside of it. You could put things like cans of vegetables or bags of rice or just a couple of books. Anything just to give it a little bit of weight for resistance, but really not for strength training purposes. For the purpose of getting some deep pressure and input in their arms and leg joints and getting them moving forward and backwards for a vestibular activation. Pushing is mechanically better for your body position, so I tend to prefer having them push the object around rather than pulling, but there are some really good sensory benefits to pulling if you do it in a good way. And this can be done with items that are slightly resistive, so they won't be too much work for their body. For example, those same objects as for pushing, but you can attach a rope or tie a long pair of old socks or something like that to the object and have them pull it with those, using those back across the room. You can have them sit in the basket and you can pull them or push them around as they sit in it. And you can also let them hold on to the bag of rice or the weighted object while they're sitting in it for extra proprioceptive input. You can make sensory obstacle courses where they have to climb, jump, crawl, roll, push or pull, and any combination of movement activities to get through the obstacles. When you're doing these activities with them, try to keep them moving as much as you can for about 20 minutes. I know this is not always possible, and 20 minutes is or can seem like a very long time when you're doing this. But if you can get there, you will be more likely to fully get their sensory needs met. Just going for a few minutes may not be enough to give their body what they need in order to feel right again. Also remember that these activities have temporary effects, so they may reach what they need after doing them with you for a while, but plan on having to do them again later in the day. How much later just depends on each individual child's sensory system. That is something that you can probably determine just from observing their actions. When you start seeing them moving around more again, you know it's probably time to get some more movements going for another round. Some families that I work with want me to give them a set schedule of when to do these activities, like specific times laid out each day for them to follow. I don't necessarily think this is the way to do their sensory diet, however. Some parents need that visual cue or structure laid out for them to follow. So in the beginning of getting this going with a family, I can help them set times based on their daily routines. However, a child's needs can and do change from day to day. That's why I don't prefer this way, because what they want or need one day may not be what they need the next day. So we may not be helping them to the best of our abilities. This can be helpful for some parents to get started, though, and I understand that, too. This gets them thinking about it more consciously and can help them see potential benefits of doing these activities throughout the day with their kids. For parents who are just getting started with all this sensory stuff, sometimes it takes the schedule for them to be willing to try it and try to understand why it helps their child. Ideally, I want parents to do these activities when they see there is a need or when they see the beginning signs that their child would benefit from doing them right now. I think this is a better system because it can start to set the stage for their child to begin to think about doing these types of activities more frequently or when they start to feel a certain way. Littler kids have more trouble understanding this, of course, but it's not too early to start talking about it with them. That's another tangent that I really don't want to get into more today. On another note, you can also go to indoor play areas like malls or trampoline parks or local open play times at gymnastics places. There are a lot of toddler time places for younger kids, and those could be good opportunities to get some social play in at the same time. Local recreation centers in your area might not only have gymnastics places, but also indoor swimming pools. If you're on Pinterest, you can check out my boards. I'll put a link to my account for the show notes today. You can try to search it under Allison Carter or send me an email or message on Instagram if you can't find it. I have a sensory processing board with a special section under that with vestibular and proprioceptive boards. There are a lot of good activities on there and ideas for other vestibular and proprioceptive activities that you can do at home. To wrap things up for today, I wanted to mention the community resource directory on my website at mymidwesttherapy.com. Click on the tab that says Community Resource Directory to see the businesses that are already listed there and to add your business to the site for only $30 for a year. I would really like to bump this directory up this year. If you or someone you know does any kind of work or sells any type of products that relate in some way to child development or therapy or special needs, really for any age, have them get on the site and list their business. If you know someone who is a handyman type person who could install equipment or build ramps for not only kids with special needs, but maybe even for some adults out there who might need some things in their home to help them be more comfortable there and be able to stay longer as they get older. Businesses that provide ABA or assistance with IEPs or specific therapies for kids are also great businesses to get on. We already have one business that is an app for kids who benefit from reinforcement. We could use more of those or any service that can help families. Businesses that sell clothing or jewelry for a cause would be amazing on there as well. Web-based businesses are awesome because they're not limited to a certain area. You can reach people all over the world. And I do have listeners in so many countries that it could really be beneficial for your online sales. This is not limited to only therapy services, although I'd love to have more occupational therapists, speech therapists, physical therapists on there as well. It is an extremely affordable way to advertise your company, and I would continue to promote the directory and point people in that direction so they can easily find your business and contact you. I really would like to build this not only for businesses, but for families and people who want a place to find resources that can help with their situations. That's all for today. Please have a great day, and thank you so much for listening and for supporting the show.